So let's go to Luke chapter 24, verse 13. If you have that, say amen. Woo, glory. Luke 24, verse 13, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Lord, I thank you for your word this morning. I pray that you stir our hearts and souls. If there's any here, Lord, that do not know you, I'm begging you, Lord, to get a hold of them in a way that they realize how much you love them and how desperate they are for you, that they could be saved from their sins. Lord, if there's any here that is discouraged, would you touch them? Would you help today? Stir your church, Lord. Give us real revival in these final hours that we can reach the lost and see souls saved and added to your kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Bless you this morning. We'll talk a little while about the road of reasoning. The road of reasoning. And you know, this all takes place, you know, if we backed up here and started at verse 1, it talks about, you know, on the first day of the week, it's dealing with the resurrection. And how that the ladies came down to the tomb and they're going to, put the spices on the body. And they're doing all the things that their custom would be, that they could do for the Lord. You know, he's gone now. And so they're doing what they can. And while they're there, they find out that the tomb has been broke into, it seems. The stone's rolled back. The body is gone. And they're all tore up. And it came to pass, verse 4 said, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, this is the angels talking, why seek ye the living among the dead? You know, there is still a lot of that yet goes on today. So many times we try to find what we're needing in our life. We need life. We need encouragement. We need help that we can live. And you say, well, you know, I got a heartbeat and I'm breathing. Well, that's great. But even that's not really living until Christ is inside of you. If you're not, you know, you could be sitting on a bar stool and you got breath and your heart's beating and you're drinking a beer, but you ain't living. You're in misery. You're in sorrow. If that's living, then that's where you're at. You're living in misery and sorrow. But it's being free from sin and free from hell and the being sentenced to death. Being freed from that through Christ is really living. So many people, they struggle with that today. Got a lot of folks that are religious. Lots of religious people. It's amazing even how much of the church itself has become so involved in the things of the world, and yet it feels that it's all right. We're okay like we are. We're just doing great. We can participate in pretty much most of the things of the world, and we're still saved. You know, we can go where the world goes. We can watch what they watch. We can listen to what they listen to. We wear what they wear. We do what they do, and yet, hey, we're different. We're born again now, and so we're wonderful just like we are. And yet, that may seem okay for a while. But you know what? That kind of a lifestyle will catch up with you after a while. Just as sure as the man that is plumb out of the hands of the Lord and out there running, doing his own thing, sin gets old after a while and it becomes heavy and it begins to drag you down and you begin to get miserable and more miserable until you're desperate and even suicidal to the place of such despair. And that's the way sin works. And when people that think they know the Lord, or maybe they do, or have had an experience with the Lord, but they begin to go back and get a hold of things of the world, pretty soon that starts wearing you down. That pleasure don't last long either. Matter of fact, I believe it's even worse being like that than it is being plumb lost. Jesus even said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out. Being lukewarm is a terrible place. And a lot of the churches like that today. A lot of people have become, Pentecostal holiness churches have become so much more secular in these last hours. And it's not helping us. It's not helping the church. It's not helping us as individuals. It's not helping our youth group. It's not helping our elderly group. It's not helping the middle-aged group. It's not helping anybody for us to begin to look back to things that we once had that we thought, maybe would help us now. Taking on the things of the world never helps us. It only bogs us down. It weighs us down. It hinders us. It holds us back. I'm talking about the road of reasoning. See, a lot of times when things don't go like we think they should, if that battle lasts too long, we start trying to figure it out on our own. What can I do here? I prayed. Now, I've called on the Lord. And, Brother Mick, I've exercised that faith you preached so much about. But nothing's happening. I'm still right here. I'm still going through the same stuff. I'm still struggling with the same struggles. I still feel the same despair, and I don't know what to do. And so we begin to reason things out amongst ourselves. We try to work it out. Here this angel said, why are you seeking the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember? Hey, this is what Jesus said to us as well. Remember? And here these angels are. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. These are the ladies. I want to tell you, gentlemen, a lot of times our ladies get a hold of faith a lot quicker than we do. Sometimes ladies seem to believe the Lord quicker than we do. Sometimes we're too much trying to work it out and reason it out and figure it out and come up with a grand scheme of some sort. And they remembered the words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And verse 10 said, and it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Now listen to what happens. And their words seemed to be as idle tales, and they believed them not. Now here we have ladies that have talked to angels firsthand. They've witnessed that the tomb is empty. They were dismayed about that. They were perplexed about that. They were tore up, certainly thinking at it, probably thinking, wow, somebody's broke in here. Them old Roman soldiers or that religious group up here that's so against Christ, they've come and they've took him and they've done this or done that. And, you know, they're trying to reason that all out. What's going on? They're perplexed. They hear the message of the angel. They remember the words of Jesus. They come back excited. They begin to tell the words, tell the events to the disciples, those that were followers of Christ, those that had heard Jesus tell them over and over about these things. And as they said these things, the words seemed to be as idle tales. Today, if we're not careful, even our preaching becomes seemingly idle tales to much of the church. There's a lot of people today, they hear what we have to say, but they basically pay no attention to what God... Oh, well, that's just Pastor Jeff. Well, if I'm your kin, folks, no offense here if you're my kin, all right? But, you know, a lot of times we'll say, because I just heard somebody else the other day say this about their kinfolk, all right? So, well, that's just my uncle. Or that's just my brother. Something like that, you know. And we deal with that. I deal with that. I had an uncle for a pastor and a brother-in-law for a pastor. So I understand about being connected to somebody that's in leadership and having to reason through the facts of, is that him talking or is that God talking now? Because he knows a little bit about my situation. So maybe he's just up there throwing that at me. Or maybe he's just trying to help me out of his own kindness because he knows the kind of problem I'm going through. See, we try to reason too many things. Hey, take the word of God at what it says. Believe the word of God. If whether it's Brother Mick or myself or one of these young men or Sister Perky or somebody here or Sister Reba, they get up. If they're using the word of God and they're proclaiming the truth, get a hold of it. If God's got something for you, get a hold of it. Don't let it be idle words. This is not a day for us to take God's word in some idle way. This is not a day and an hour for us to begin to try to reason things out so much on our own that we can't believe that God can actually have power to do something. He's got power to heal. He's got power to deliver. He's got power to give the church real revival. He has power to bring people in. He has power to save your people. Does that seem like idle words? It can. It can. Because you can look right back at me and in your mind think, yeah, but you don't know my situation. Yeah, but you don't know what I'm facing. All right. Here's some people. Now think about these folks that are on this road to Emmaus. Think about them. Now these are people that are, they're traveling. They're headed back home. These are people that for 3.5 years or so, everything they've done has been involved and wrapped around what Christ was doing. Wherever he went, they went. Whatever he said, they believed. Yeah. They was looking to him. They trusted him. They thought he was the Messiah. Oh, they knew he was doing miracles. They were witnessing. They seen it. They knew Lazarus before he died. They sat and ate with him after he was resurrected. They knew he'd been dead 4 days. They seen blind Bartimaeus. They seen the lame people that was healed. They seen other folks that was set free. They had saw leprosy healed with their own eyes. They knew what Jesus was able to do, and they had believed. But now that they witnessed with their same eyes that they saw the miracles with, they watched their hope be mauled, beat, stripped, ruined, and die and buried with a cold body in a cold grave. And that was what was stuck in their head. What was not what Jesus had preached for 3 years, 3.5 years to them, not what they had heard, not what they had seen. Now they're stuck on the last sight of him. The last thing they saw was him hanging his head. They heard him cry out. It was finished. They seen him have a groan come out of him that was loud. They didn't know that was a groan of triumph. They thought it was a groan of agony and defeat. And that's the way they remembered him. That's what they thought. This is fresh on their mind, folks. Just 3 days later. Hey, the words of these women seemed as idle tales. And they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran to the sepulchre and stooped down, and he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, listen, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. He's still wondering. Yeah, he's seen it now. Well, it is empty. He's gone. There's the linen clothes. But he's still wondering. He's still wondering. Not only wondering in his mind, but wondering around. That's what a lot of times, if we're not careful, that's what happens whenever we're not sure of ourselves and we're not sure of Christ. We'll just start wandering around. What are you doing? I don't know. Where are you going? I ain't sure. What are you going to do tomorrow? I don't know. You think there's any hope? I don't know. Just wandering around. Wandering. Just wandering, Brother Rest. Just running. Just wandering. Hey, man, I've been there. I understand about that. I understand about taking a hold of things on my own and trying to figure it out and work it out and wallowing with something so long that I lose total track of what God's got in mind. And if he can move, I don't know why. I ain't even thinking about that now. I mean, he ain't answering. Sometimes if people, you reckon what an alien would think? I don't know how that works. If somebody that didn't know nothing about us and they heard us pray all the time, you'd think after a while they'd think our God's name was Oh God. Not just Jehovah, it's Oh God. What? Oh, you must serve Oh God. I heard them. They serve Oh God too, because most of the time, if you ain't careful, you'll get up more. Oh God. You sit down, nobody's around, you bow your head. Oh God. I mean, you ain't excited about it. Oh God, yes, woo! It's Oh God. It's despair. It's agony on me. It's that kind of stuff. Oh, God. Oh, God. So he wanders around. Here he goes. Verse 13, though, where we read, And behold, two of them went that same day, day of the resurrection, to a village called Emmaus. Now, no doubt about it. This has to be their home. They're heading home. And so on their road to Emmaus, it was about a 7-mile journey. was 7 miles of discussion, 7 miles of talking, 7 miles of doubting, 7 miles of reasoning, 7 miles. You know, that's a pretty good trip. That'd take you a little while to walk 7 miles, especially as fast as I walk. It'd take me a little while. It might take 2 or 3 hours. I don't know. And it may be longer. And if you sit down and rest a little bit. And the whole time they're walking, Jerusalem is to their back. That's where everything's happened at. That's where the resurrection took place. That's where the tomb, the empty tomb is. That's where most of the disciples were. Here they are. They're walking away. They're going home. Where are they going? They're going back where they came from. They're going back to their life. They're going back to their old ways. They're going back to their old occupations. They're going back to their way of thinking. They're on their way away from Jerusalem. They're headed to Emmaus. I'm going back. Just going back. It's a slow process. They didn't fly over there. I've seen here this, you know, they got these planes. Some of them pretty fast. I think they come out with something. They're talking about that. I don't could go from New York to California in, 12, 13 minutes. That's pretty quick. Now, they wasn't taking nothing like that. They're walking. And so it's a slow process. When you begin to doubt, you know, it's a slow process that leads you away from the Lord. That's how backsliding takes place. Good people can backslide. They can do it sitting right on a pew in a church. Young people coming right out of youth camp on fire can backslide because you start doubting. Older folks been in revival, camp meeting, been to preachers' meetings, and you can walk away. If God doesn't move like you think He should, as quick as you think He ought to, if things ain't happening like you thought they would, or if you even get down on yourself, you ever made a mistake and get down on yourself? And just say, oh, you know, I ain't no count. I'm no good. You know, I'm bad. And pretty soon you're walking away. Here they are. They're walking away. They're headed to Emmaus. It was about a 7 mile trip. And they talked together. You know, it would have been handy if while they were going, maybe they had to go home and get some clothes. Maybe they just say, hey, we need to make a trip over to Emmaus and pick up some extra groceries and check on the dog or something, all right? And make sure the cows are eating all right. All right, so maybe, all right. Well, it would have been handy if one of them on the way to Emmaus would have been a good faith believer. Been somebody like Brother Mick. That'd been handy to have Brother Mick with you on the road to Emmaus. Well, now we're going over. Brother Mick be saying, yeah, but we ain't staying. Now, we just going to go down and get that stuff. We're going back because we're on a mission. Now, that'd be handy. You got to, you know, I think of Brother Mick, he's a driver, ain't he? Huh? Yeah. You know, I'd help then. The weaker vessel could have got some help. You know, the Bible says that we that are strong should bear the infirmities of the weak. Yeah. There's a lot of times what happens when we think we're strong, we talk about the weak, not knowing that it makes us weaker. And here two of them now, they're together, and they're talking, and they're agreeing about all these things. They talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, that Jesus drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. They didn't even recognize him. They didn't even recognize him. I can assure you the scars was in his hands and in his feet even then. I can assure you that had they been in the right frame of mind, I believe they would have recognized him. But they didn't because of their reasoning. They were trying to handle all of this on their own. They were thinking about it all in their own way of thinking. And in doing so, they didn't even recognize Jesus. How many times have we come together here? And the Bible says where there's two or three of us that's gathered in his name, he's in the midst. And I believe that here this morning, there's got to be at least two or three, and I believe many of you. You've come together in the name of Christ. We've come believing. We've lifted up the name of Christ. We've sung of his praises. We've raised up, and we're believing in that. We're trusting in that. So I can assure you, he's here this morning. And yet, if we're not careful, we won't even recognize him. We'll even leave. Some may leave and say, man, that was a dry service. Boy, it was quiet today. Man, the Lord, he ain't moving in our church like he used to. There's a lot of people do that because things don't happen like they think it should. A lot of the reasons of that going on is we're not looking for him and spotting him. They were not looking for Jesus. These people that were traveling on this road to Emmaus, they were not even looking for him. Matter of fact, as we go on, listen to what takes place. They didn't recognize him. Verse 17 said, "And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" All right. They're pretty much down on the deal. They're sad. They're down. They don't know. You know, they're just all tore up. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, he answering said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" And he said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth," listen, "which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word." He was mighty in deed and in word before God and all the people. He was a prophet. Man, they didn't even call him Messiah now. Man, he was a prophet. Mighty in deed, mighty in word. Woo, man, you should have heard him preach. He'd tear you up, but he's dead. Man, he was a prophet. You should have heard him tell things, but he's dead. Hey, he done miracles and raised people up and healed folks, but he's dead. Brother Morton, we might ought to resurrect that song. You and Brother Danny, we might ought to resurrect that song. Resurrect. God's not dead. He's still alive. Amen. I thank the Lord for some of our elder brothers and sisters that sung that old song. Well, we need to sing some more of that. God's not dead. He's still alive. I feel him in my hands, feel him in my feet, feel him all over me. Folks on the road to Emmaus, they wasn't singing that song. They didn't feel that way. They were down. They were depressed. They were worried. They were stressed. They were tore up and they were reasoning all of this out. He was a prophet, mighty indeed. Verse 20 said, "And how the chief priest," they're still telling the story, "and how this chief priest and our rulers delivered him to condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted," listen to this, "but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel." We trusted. Yeah, we started out with him. Yeah, and it ain't now. It ain't like it used to be, Brother Morton. It ain't like now, boys. I'll tell you now, 40 years ago, it was different. Huh? Hey, I can tell you 30 years ago, it was different. 30 years ago now, folks. Hey, I can talk about my time. All right, I'm old enough now. I'll be 49 here pretty soon. You gonna, now, brother? Anyway, you know what? When I grew up, you know my stories, man. I'm sorry, but oh, this is what you do when you get older. You repeat yourself. Huh? So I'm allowed to do this. I had older pastors. They repeated themselves a lot. So I get to do it now. So you have to deal with that. Now, I'm paying, you know, you get your turn one day, maybe. And so I played Hot Wheels under the seat. So, man, I had to be. I remember 5, 6, 7 years old being in church. So see there, that's about 40 years ago, a little more. 40 years ago. I remember people, you know what? They didn't have much money. They had hard times. You know what? You won't believe this. 40 years ago, my mom and dad actually had to fight the devil. Same one you all have to fight. Boy, that blowed them away right there. They're totally shocked. Huh? We think we're the only ones deal with what we're dealing with. My mom and dad dealt with the same devil. Your mom and dad dealt with it. Every generation has to face him. My grandma would stand up and testify and she'd scream and she'd say, "That devil, he's a rotten devil." She'd call him Slewfoot and stuff. And she said, "He's had 6,000 years. 6,000 years experience deceiving God's people. 6,000 years he's been working on deceiving generation after generation. We're not the first generation that's faced hard times. My grandmother, she grew up in the Great Depression. Had 8 kids. Her husband died of pneumonia. Died. He's gone. Here she is with 8 kids. No welfare. No help from the government. She worked, Brother Ben. One summer, her and the children worked and had a great crop of corn came in. And they filled up that big, grain bin. What do you call that thing? Corn crib. Whatever. It was a crib. It was a wooden crib. Had slats. They'd see out there. Oh, there we had some food for the winter for the cattle and to help things keep going and to grind some of that up, maybe make some cornmeal out of and things. And you know what? One of the neighbor boys came over. Hey, listen, there wasn't no Walmarts. There wasn't Kroger's. There wasn't none of that. And you had to have money if you went down to the local place to buy you 50 pounds of flour. She didn't have no money. Mama told me about this. She said, Jeff, said one of the neighbor boys came over and got to playing with matches and caught that corn, those shucks on fire, and said, here comes. She told about Mamaw. My Mamaw come running out screaming, oh God, no. And they watched as that corn crib burnt to the ground and burn up all of that harvest. They didn't have a tractor to plow that ground where they got that corn from. They didn't have that. They was out there, with whatever they could get to turn that ground and worked and labored hard. And they lost that. But you know what Mamaw did? She still chopped the wood and went down and started the fire in the old country church where Brother Randall's at now. And they'd still have church and they'd said that she'd still come in and testify of God's glory and His goodness. And she didn't have a freezer and she didn't have all that stuff laid up. But Mama knew how to praise God. She faced the same devil that we face. She dealt with the same demons of hell that try to bring unbelief and doubt into our lives. I can tell you, if God was good for Grandma, He's good for us if we'll let Him be. Amen. Our God's the same as He's always been. He is a delivering God. He's a God of faith. I mean, He's a God that honors faith, but He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. He's a God of deliverance. He's able to help His people. He can do it today, and He's looking for somebody to do it in. Always God searches. Can you see Him? Oh, can you see God as He looks over the earth? The Bible said He searches. His eyes go to and fro over the earth, looking, searching for someone to show Himself strong in. Oh, and then what was it? Was it Jesus that said, when He comes, will He find faith? He's looking. He's looking for somebody that'll trust in Him for a change. Amen. Hey, this is not a good day to trust in welfare. This is not a good day to trust in our government programs. Maybe there's some in there trying to help us, but it looks to me like some of them trying to shoot the boat full of holes and sink it before they get gone. So it's not a day to look for big government programs to help us. Our answer is not bigger government or less government. Our answer is still Jesus Christ. He's still the one we need today. Every one of us, if we're not careful, will find ourselves traveling down the road to Emmaus, going back from the very place that God brought us out of. These are men. These are possibly maybe a husband and a wife. Cleopas may have been him and his wife, Mary. I don't know, but I know one thing. They didn't need to be going back to Emmaus, and they didn't need to be down and sad and downtrodden and worried and speaking so much doubt. But see, they were focused on what they could see. Don't you see? Have you read the newspaper lately? Have you seen the headlines? Have you listened to Fox and CNN? Haven't you looked around? Don't you see how high gas prices are? Don't you see how much trouble? Oh, the bombs, the blowing up, the suicidal stuff going on, the worry, the fear. Oh, down, down. Worry, stress, agony. Oh, I know if we look at the natural things, it's a wreck, folks. Hey, but let's focus on God Almighty for a while and look to Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. He's the one that can help us. He's the one that can bring us out. And He can give Berea Evangelistic Church one of the greatest revivals planet Earth has ever seen. If we'll just look beyond all the natural and look to Christ. I've been praying, Brother Mick. I've been asking God, oh, break in on us, Lord. Come in on us. Give us revival. God, give us a revival among our own preachers. We don't need, I like evangelists. Love brother, some of them guys out there. I love them. But I want to tell you, we don't need a superstar to come in here and bring us a great meeting. We just need Jesus to show up. He can change everything in a moment of time. Oh, we need revival. We need Christ to show up and get us off of this road of despondency, this despair, this worry, this stress. Here they are. Oh, but we trusted. We trusted that He was the one. And besides all this, then today, two of our own ladies are messing with us by preaching a little bit of hyperactive message saying they seen something. But we sent one of our best down there and he didn't see a thing. They said maybe he'd gotten up and they had a dream. Probably ate too much bologna last night. So they had a bologna dream thinking they saw some angels talking to them. But we sent a guy down there. Somebody we trust. He looked in there. He said he didn't see a thing and never seen Jesus. Oh, preacher, now don't come in here trying to make us all happy. Don't try to make us, you know, give us any false hope. Christ has never been false hope. He has always been the only hope. The only hope. Amen. All right. And so they get their little message done of discouragement. And when they, you know, it goes on. And then it says, verse 25. Then he said, this is Jesus. He said to them, O fools and slow of heart. Oh, boy, we don't like it now when the preacher gets on to us about our unbelief. We don't like it when things get a little tough. Amen. He said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? Should Christ have went through all that He went through and go back to the Father and leave you like this? Is this what it's come to? Is this the way it's going to end? Oh, let me ask you this morning. Do you think this is the way Jesus wants His church to be today in 2011? Just prior to the rapture of the church? Just prior to the end of days when this thing falls apart? Do you think He wants His church wandering around in dismay? Wondering where they could find help. Going back to their places of pleasure. Trying to find a little satisfaction. Embracing things of the world that we ought not embrace. Oh, trying to reason the scriptures out and not let them get on us and condemn us about worldly activities and things that we're doing and our despair and all that. Oh, no. I want to tell you, that's not the kind of church He's coming after. He didn't want to leave these people like that. He didn't want to leave them there at a place of worry and fear. Wandering around doing nothing. He said, this is not why I died. Not to leave you like this. And He again began to open their eyes to the scripture. He began to talk with them and work with them. And He began to share it in a way. And I want to tell you, Jesus this morning can take broken vessels like me and you. And He can, if He can find a way to get through us, He can speak words of life, words of hope. He can bring understanding to the times. The Bible said that God had men that had understanding of the times, Brother Mick. I believe that's what God wants right here. He wants to bring up men and women that's got understanding of what's going on. Hey, I want to tell you, you can fool around with your youth right now, boys. You can run around and waste your time on foolishness of this world, or you could seek God for a change and allow Him to come inside of you and make you a man of understanding, make you a woman of understanding. And while the rest of your peers wonder around not knowing what's going on, you can stand up and say, I know what's happening. I've got a word for you. And you can bring life and understanding to this hour of dismal feelings and all the trouble. Oh yeah. had Daniel on them three Hebrew boys. They were men of understanding. And they were young. Huh? They were young. They probably wasn't college age. They were young, taken away captive as young men. Everything about hopes and dreams was gone from them. Huh? Future of a family was taken away from them. Their dreams of property and owning and doing, it was gone. They were led away captive. Moms and dads, their moms and dads, no doubt, was slaughtered, left or put in slavery. They were led away in chains and shackles. Yeah. They were made into eunuchs. No future. No family. No hope. No, it's gone. Gone. Oh, they could have laid down and wept and cried and said, "Oh, what's the use? Nothing for us now. Oh, somebody kill me. Give me a knife." They could have cut themselves trying to find relief. That's what that boy from Gadara done. So full of demons, he cut himself looking for relief. I want to tell you today, relief ain't going to come in the things this world's got to offer. But relief comes in the name of Jesus Christ. Daniel and his boys, hey, I want to tell you, they met him. I know they did, because when them three Hebrew boys believed in God and had a message for that hour, we know one thing, King, whether God delivers us or not, we ain't a-going your way. They threw him in the fire. Who met him in that fire? It was the fourth man. And he was likened to the Son of God. That's what the old king said. Jesus makes the difference. He shows up. He joins. I've got to hurry. He showed up and he joined these boys. This couple on the road to Emmaus began to talk with him. Yeah. And it came to pass, verse 30 said, and as he sat and made meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and break it and gave to them. Give us this day our daily bread. Oh God, give us this day our daily bread. That's Christ, folks. Here he is as he breaks the daily bread and he hands it to them. Oh yeah. He break and gave to them and their eyes were opened. Oh yes. Their eyes were open. See, this is revival. Huh? This is having an experience with God that changes everything. This is having an experience with Jesus Christ that changes everything. Hallelujah. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. Oh, today, our prayer needs to be, oh God, that your church can get to know you again. That your church, Lord, can come into fellowship with you again like we've never seen in this hour. Revival like we've never seen. You working among your people like we've never seen. And I want to tell you, this was a day of despair for these people here. But you know what? They have no clue that in only somewhat of maybe a little less than 50 days, they're going to have an outpouring of God as planet Earth had never seen. And the Holy Ghost was going to fill them. And they were going to be endued with power. And these same walking doubters on the road of reasoning would find themselves as men and women of God, casting out devils, healing the sick, raising the dead, being chased and persecuted, yes, but the church would grow, and men and women found God in the worst of times, because Jesus was made available by believers that had their eyes on him. And today, we've got to get our eyes back on Jesus. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Oh, don't this, isn't this wonderful? We love this scripture. And they said one to another, oh, their conversation's changed now, gentlemen. Huh? Their conversation. Remember a while ago? They reasoned about it. Doubting. Unbelief. Same too. Talking now. Bad. It was ugly. It was rough. Huh? Now here they are. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture. Hallelujah. Oh, you know what would help us today? If we'd have a little talk with Jesus, Brother Morton, ring the prayer bells of heaven and then let him talk with us and begin to give us the understanding of his word. Understanding for now and what's going on. It changes everything, people. It changes everything. Hope comes out of nowhere when Jesus shows up and begins to talk. Amen. And they arose up the same hour. They've already made some 7 to 8 mile journey. It's late in the evening. They've went in to eat. I can assure you, as he handed them that bread and said, Lord, bless it now. Their eyes was open. He vanished. They lost their appetite for natural food because they had been eaten of meat that they knew not of when Jesus fed them. Amen. They jumped up that same night, excited, fired up. Amen. They arose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hey, this is proclamation now of a truth. The Lord has risen indeed. Hey, he's done it. We're witnesses. He's risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Now, if you want to read a little more of that after a while, you'll find out that while they were preaching about Jesus, he showed up in the midst of them. Hallelujah. He showed up there right while they were talking about him. Hallelujah. And as they were thus, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. Or could it be this morning that while this frail preacher kind of staggered around a few words and tried to talk about Jesus, that while we proclaimed him indeed this morning, that perhaps he showed up here. He's able to say peace to your situation. He's able to speak peace into your life. He's able to speak peace into every situation. I know the world's going to hell and it's going there fast, but we don't have to go. Amen. It was not designed for us. Amen. And despair was not a term that was ever to be tagged to a Christian. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. I kind of feel good. They went from the road of reasoning to the road of renewal. Whew. And all Jesus done was pray over the meal. Woo! Wouldn't it be good today if you went to Mariachi's or Cracker Barrel or one of these places around here, and while you blessed the food, Jesus would show up and revival would break out right there. Hallelujah. That's what happened to these boys. Amen. As they was wondering about it all, Jesus began to pray over the meal and their eyes were open. On their way to Emmaus, oh, they were two sad travelers. Oh, but after their encounter with Jesus, they returned to Jerusalem. They were two glad travelers. Amen. God wants to make us glad travelers today. Get off that road of reasoning. Quit trying to work it out on your own. Quit trying to make sense of everything. It ain't none of it make no sense. The things of the world and the things of the devil, they don't never make sense. It don't add up. It don't work out. It never does. It never will. Amen. This world is not ours. We're only passing through. The more we try to settle down here, the more trouble we get in. We got to look beyond all of this to Jesus. Got to look beyond it all. We're only here preparing ourselves to meet him and reaching out to others that they might know him too. It's the only reason we're here. Amen. It's the only reason we're here this morning. Let's stand. Oh, I don't want to stay on the road of reasoning. I've been there too much, Brother Mick. I've been there too much. Been there too many times. Sit down. You look at your bills. You look at your troubles. You're listening to the answering machine. You sit down. You start trying to reason it out. Oh, I'll tell you, it'll get you down. It'll get you down. Oh, we gotta get beyond it. You gotta look to Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Oh, I don't tell you, folks. Oh, his word, which is so true, has said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. This won't last always. No, trouble. One of the old black gospel songs, it said, trouble won't last always. Hallelujah. I believe it. I believe it. Trouble is not going to last. No, it can't. Christ is the only thing that will last. Everything else is going to fade away. Lord, this morning we love you. Oh, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for what you've done for us. Every time you've brought us out of the pit. Every time you've forgiven us. Every time you've restored us. Every time you've helped us. Lord, we bless you. Surely, without question, Jesus, you are our daily bread. You're the provisions that we need with physical, with physical food, physical needs. Oh, as well with the spiritual and those things that we need for our body. You're everything, Lord. You're everything. We're looking to you this morning. Oh, we trust you, Lord. We don't want to be those that doubt and those that have dismay and look away from you. But we're wanting to look to you, Lord, that you would show up. That you would walk with us and help us. Be our guide and our director. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, you've made it available that we should never walk by ourselves. But you would lead every step that we take, every move that we make. We can walk in the Spirit, that we be led by you and used of you and overcome the devil and doubt in every step and every way of the sense of it all. Lord, we're looking to you right now. Visit with us here. Visit with us here. Let this word, Lord, as simple as it's been, let's let it speak into the lives of desperate people. Let it speak into the lives of needy people, that we can grab a hold of what you're saying to us right now. Let it not be idle words or foolish words, but words of life and liberty in Jesus' name. The altars are open. Would you come? Find a place to pray. Hey, man, the Lord's here. I believe it. The Lord is here. He's here to help us. He's here to strengthen us. He's here to bring us out, bring us through every situation. Hallelujah.